vasudevaya.
Om namo
bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo
bhagavate vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 10, Departure of Lord Krishna for Dwarka, text number 17. Sita tapat from jagraha.
Sita tapat from jagraha.
Mukta dama vibhushitam.
Mukta dama vibhushitam.
Ratna dandam guda kesha.
Ratna dandam guda kesha.
Priya priya tamasyaha.
Priya priya tamasyaha.
Sita
Pata Patram.
Soothing umbrella.
Why
is an umbrella soothing? In this case, the sunshine. Yeah. Better than having the sun beating down on your head. Jagraha. Tuka. Mukta dama. Decorated with laces and pearls. Vibhushitam. Embroidered. Ratna dandam. With a handful of jewels. Oh, sorry, with a handle of jewels. Gudakesha. Arjuna. The expert warrior. Or one who has conquered sleep. Priyaha. Most beloved. Priyatamasya. Of the most beloved. Ha. So he did. At that time, Arjuna, the great warrior and conqueror of sleep, who was the intimate friend of the most beloved Supreme Lord, took up an umbrella which had a handle of jewels and was embroidered with lace and pearls. Purport. Gold, jewels, pearls and valuable stones were used in the luxurious royal ceremonies. You know, when I was very young, maybe 3 or 4 years old, it was right after the coronation of Queen Elizabeth. Does anybody know who Queen Elizabeth is? For anybody who doesn't know. Okay, so, and so I think my mother, or my father, my parents had a book that celebrated the coronation of Queen Elizabeth, and there was a section that I remember vividly looking at these pictures many times of the crown and the scepter and the other paraphernalia that she was coronated. What does coronated mean? There's a question. What does coronated mean? Yeah. Coronation, what does it literally mean?
Crown?
Yeah, to be crowned. They put the crown on the head. And then all of a sudden you have magic potency. But it's interesting here. Gold, and you know, this is a jewels, pearls, and valuable stones were used in the luxurious royal ceremonies. And so you see that even in the regal celebrations, especially of a, I don't know if you could call it a dynasty, of a tradition, we'll say of a tradition, like the British crown, the British king and queen, kings and queens. Of course, it's a well-known fact, certainly Prabhupada mentions it, that the many of the jewels that were taken by the British were actually stolen from India. And not only that, stolen from the deities, the deities. You know, at the time they must have thought, gee, this is a really smart thing to do. We'll be wealthy. But stealing from the deities is generally not a good idea. Not recognized as a good idea. They were all nature's gifts and are produced by the hills, oceans, etc. by the order of the Lord. When man does not waste his valuable time in producing unwanted things in the name of necessities. By so-called development of industrial enterprises, they are now using pots of gutta percha. Oh, I was going to look that up. Gutta percha. What does that mean? I forgot to look that up. What's gutta percha? Gutta, G-U-T-T-A, percha, P-E-R-C-H-A. Gutta percha. What does that mean? Yeah, what does it mean?
It's a hard, tough, thermoplastic substance that is coagulated. That is the coagulated latex of certain Malaysian trees. It consists chiefly of a hydrocarbon, isomeric with rubber, and is now used chiefly in dentistry and for electrical insulation.
Plastic. 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 Gutta percha. By so-called development of industrial enterprises, they are now using pots of gutta percha instead of metals like gold, silver, brass and copper. They are using margarine instead of purified butter. And one-fourth of the city population has no shelter. Om Ajnana Timiram Dasya Ananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukkam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yakripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam. So in the earlier verses and in this verse, the opulence of Maharaj Yudhisthira, Dharmaraj, the saintly king, is underlined or emphasized in the description of the umbrella that's carried by Arjuna. Gold, jewels, pearls, valuable stones. They are all nature's gifts, Prabhupada says here in the purport. They're all nature's gifts. Now, how many of us possess any gold? Raise your hands if you've got any gold. We'll see who's opulent here. Jewels? Real jewels, not some. You know, they make almost anything synthetically. these days. The Prabhupada is making a point, and it's mentioned throughout here, where there's a pious king. Pious king meaning somebody who's guided by the brahmanas. You know, Prabhupada emphasizes this point of vana and ashrama, and the society should be organized according to vana and ashrama. Something which Prabhupada admits that in this day and age not practically possible to do again, to re-establish. Because there's such a mix, and you know, everything is so mixed up in Kali Yuga. And so the traditions have been lost, basically. And this is a point underlined by Arjuna in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita. And you see, one of the results of tradition being undermined is that then there's Varna Sankara, which means, you know, unwanted children, unloved, unwanted progeny. And no traditional educational systems. That reinforce these principles of vana and ashram, which because of the order and the structure then bring about stability within society, order and structure. Whereas in the current age there's chaos and disarray. You know, in Maharaj Parikshit's kingdom, everybody was, practically speaking, a devotee. Or at least a follower of the Vedic tradition. So the general populace were law-abiding citizens and they were peaceful as a result. You know, there was no animal slaughter, for a start, in the society. And so therefore the reactions, you know, that we are observing today, you know, Prabhupada mentioned in the purport, previous purport, how the reactions of the animals are being felt by the humans. Right? Prabhupada mentions in the previous purport. The reactions of the animals are being imposed upon the human being. So, you know, just the other, on Friday in America, you know, somebody gets up in a movie house, just as an example, the craziness, and then starts firing at the people watching Batman movie, the latest Batman nonsense, with an assault rifle, you know, innocent, basically, well, so-called innocent. But this is how Prabhupada points out. The reactions of, you know, they're killing animals. And the government is allowing it. The government is supervising these things. In Maharaj Yudhisthira's time, or Maharaj Parikshit's time, these things would be unheard of. Unexpecting persons not realizing that their karma is about to catch up with them are horribly slaughtered. The human beings are slaughtering each other. They slaughtered the animals, and as Prabhupada says, you know, they want peace. People want peace in society, and yet they inflict such horror upon others, and then wonder why There's such a disarray and there's such disorder and such disturbances. So You know, this is the opulence of a saintly king. He's following the principles of order, structure, as ordained by the scripture, and as instructed by the saintly brahmanas, the saintly leaders of society. And so, as a result of that order and structure, there's opulence. And that opulence is observed here in simply the umbrella that Arjuna's carrying to shade Krishna. Soothing umbrella. Decorated with laces and pearls. With a hand, Ratna Dandam. What Ratna Dandam means, literally a stick of jewels, right? So Prabhupada says here, these are all nature's gifts. If society is managed and ordered in such a way so that the real focus of human existence is to make spiritual progress, not to make material progress, then what will automatically happen is that the necessities of life will be provided. This is really the argument. The necessities for existence will be provided by those who abide by the natural laws. One has to be aware of the natural laws. And that's why the brahmana's responsibility is to study the Vedas, because all of this, we were discussing this last night in the at Krishna Fest. Vedas are basically designed to give us knowledge, give us learning, give us an understanding of how to order and structure our lives, how to order and structure society. But of course, there's so much Vedic literature, and there are contradictions. It appears to be contradictory, or it's difficult to understand in some cases. And so therefore, the brahmanas are trained in the study of the Vedas in order to interpreter is a person who translates one language into another. And their interpretation doesn't mean necessarily that they change it, but rather they translate it faithfully so that the meaning is intact. I was reading a letter from, what, a letter? Or was it a lecture? Prabhupada was saying, a disciple should repeat the words of his spiritual master like a parrot. But then said, no, but Prabhupada said, no, not like a parrot. Because he said, a parrot doesn't understand what he's saying. Polly, want a cracker? You know, the parrot doesn't know what he's talking about. You know, it's questionable. Well, even Prabhupada says we shouldn't chant like a parrot. Right? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then the parrot gets grabbed around the throat, and what does it do? You know, it doesn't chant Hare Krishna anymore. So we should be chanting Hare Krishna with some understanding of what we're doing, not like a parrot. But what does Prabhupada mean? We should chant, you know, we should repeat the spiritual master's instructions like a parrot. It means we should be faithful to what's being said, not that we change it to suit our own whims. So the information should be learned, but at the same time, whilst faithfully speaking what has been heard, and that means also from the Vedas or the Shruti and the Smriti, we should be presenting it. It should be presented in such a way so that it is palatable, readily understood, you know, accepted by the audience. This is a big this is a big challenge. This was Prabhupada's legacy, as in Jamal Krishna Maharaj's latest book. This is one of his arguments, that Prabhupada was a faithful ambassador of the cumulative tradition of Vedic culture. And so what Prabhupada said was orthodox, was one sense conservative, because Vedic culture is very conservative in the sense of conserving, you know, protecting, preserving these principles of dependence upon God, service, devotional service, basically. Prabhupada was authentically presenting the tradition. He didn't change anything, actually. But if there was change, it was in the modality of presentation, so that the audience could hear. Right? This is Sukadev Goswami's qualification, that he took the message faithfully received from Vyasadeva and then was able to present it in such a way so that it was relishable for others. And applicable. That's important. Applicable. Not that we, you know, just simply establish a society of just rules and regulations. In fact, that's detrimental to the establishment of bhakti, which is what really is the mission of the Vedas. The purpose of the Vedas is to establish the principle of bhakti. And a particular type of bhakti, that Shuddha bhakti, pure devotional service, not devotional service performed with some material motivation in mind to get some material benefit, but rather Prabhupada was encouraging pure devotional service with the understanding that automatically everything will be provided, automatically the jewels, the pearls, the other natural products, which are nature's gifts, but ultimately nature is coming from Krishna. You know, what does Prabhupada say here? They are all nature's gifts: gold, jewels, pearls, and valuable stones, used in the luxurious royal ceremonies. They are all nature's gifts and are produced by the hills, oceans, etc., by the order of the Lord, when man does not waste his valuable time in producing unwanted things in the name of necessities. And then Prabhupada says here, by so-called development of industrial enterprises, they are now using pots of gutta percha, plastic. Whereas in as is described here, the utensils were made of naturally available, readily available natural ingredients. In fact, in traditional domestic culture within India, we see that you didn't eat off of plates, right? You eat off of a leaf plate. How hard is that? Especially if you live in a place like Bengal. Banana trees are all over the place. So natural products, you eat off of a leaf plate. So how much endeavour is required to make a leaf plate? How hard is it? Just have to cut a leaf off of a tree. Right? And then the clay pots and cups. Even in Jagannath Puri, all of the offerings that are made to Lord Jagannath, they're all cooked in these clay pots. So if you want some Mahaprasadam, then you just go and buy one of the big pots. And that's how they offer it to Lord Jagannath, 64 offerings a day. You know, we think it's an effort to do seven. But if there's 64 offerings in a day, how many, what's the frequency of offerings? Assuming that Lord Jagannath has a snooze at night and in the afternoon, how often is he getting an offering in the daytime? Every half an hour or so.
2.5
per hour. 2.5
per
hour, yeah. Gets a lot of...
Well, 17 minutes.
17 minutes. Yeah, every 17 minutes there's an offering being made to Lord Jagannath. But in all in, you know, these are it's cookingware that's never ever been used before, fresh. And then you know, the pollution from that, you know, the byproducts of the waste, because you know you make these things out of plastic, but then what have you got? You've got all this waste that's toxic at the end. And then you have the problem of what to do with it. Whereas if you've just got a clay pot and a leaf plate, you just throw it in the compost heap. Mm-hmm. And then within a few weeks, you can just put it back out into the field again. Very natural. A natural way of living. As Prabhupada established the International Society for Krishna Consciousness to encourage a simple, more natural way of life. And you know, if we're following the principles of Vedic culture, especially if we're following the principles of devotion, then really that's the goal. Of course, trying to establish that in this day and age, not so easy, because everything is very disturbed, upset, confused. But still, we demonstrate the principle. If one depends upon Krishna, then automatically everything will be provided. You know, sometimes people would come and visit Prabhupada and complain to him, you know, what are you doing for society? Why don't you have a job? Why are you doing something productive? Why do you have an easy life? Huh? Why do you have such an easy life, taking it easy, setting a poor example for others? Prabhupada would, you know, be criticized by visitors and because Prabhupada would say, well, look, if we've got such an easy life, why don't you come and live with us? And you can take it easy with us. But of course, it's not an easy life in one sense, that one depends upon Krishna. And then automatically, Krishna provides for the devotees. There's a principle of devotional service. Krishna looks after his devotees and provides them with necessities. He mentions that in the Bhagavad Gita. When one doesn't waste one's time pursuing so-called necessities, but one utilizes one's time in pursuing the real purpose of life, real purposes, then one ends up with an ordered, structured, sane society where people understand, where there's regulation, where there's order, where there's a predominance of the mode of goodness, and the modes of passion and ignorance are conquered by the adherence to these devotional principles. Then you get order, structure, sanity, peaceful. What are the symptoms of Brahminical culture? Samal damas tapasal jam jamti rajavam eva cha. Jnanam Vijnanam Astikyam Pramakama Svabhavajam. Samo, sama means equanimity. Equanimity. Matraspasashtu kuntaya siddhoshnasa kadukataha. Tolerance. Sense control. Samo dhamma. Tapa. Austerity. Socham. Cleanliness. These are qualities of goodness. So when the qualities of goodness are emphasized, not just to be in the mode of goodness, but rather in order to be elevated to the platform of Shuddha Sattva, to the platform of Bhakti. These things are all beneficial so long as they have the goal of arriving at devotional service. Otherwise, just, you know, the mode of goodness in and of itself, or shall we say by itself, is not actually the best. It's desirable, but it is not the goal. The goal is to cultivate the... And so we see in the performance of bhakti, then automatically these principles are contained. What is it? Utsahan nischayantariyatatta kama pravartanat. Enthusiasm, determination, patience, following the regulative principles. These are the items that support bhakti. Whereas over endeavor, what is it? Apyahara prayasas ja prajopo niyamagraha. Eating too much or collecting too much. And prayasas, which means over endeavor. So these are the symptoms of materialistic culture. Accumulating material things that are not necessary and over endeavoring. So time is wasted. Whereas with devotional culture, the pursuit of material things is minimized for the acquisition of spiritual assets. And then automatically, when the spiritual assets are accumulated, then naturally material prosperity follows. Of course, that material prosperity shouldn't be used for sense gratification, another warning in the Bhagavatam. Yeah. And so Prabhupada gives us some warnings here. They're using margarine instead of purified butter, and 1/4 of the city population has no shelter. There's something that struck me when I was first visited India. It was the craziest trip I've ever been on to India. We flew from Melbourne to Sydney, Sydney to Perth, Perth to Singapore, Singapore to Chennai, then Chennai to Calcutta. Now, I know a much quicker way to get to Calcutta, but it was cheap, I think. We were flying Alitalia. I don't even know if Alitalia still still exists as an airline. I think it does. But anyway, we got to Chennai, and at midnight, or maybe even later. And I remember driving through the streets and I saw all of these people sleeping on the street. And I was shocked. And Calcutta too, same thing. Just people sleeping in the streets. That was where they lived. And I was like, whoa, that's just... You don't see it in Delhi so much, right? People sleeping in the streets. You seen people sleeping
in
jail?
Not allowed.
Not allowed in Delhi. Still in Calcutta? I haven't been to Calcutta for such a long time, I don't know. Haven't seen it. But, you know, Prabhupada says here, 1/4 of the population has no shelter. So at some places in the world, this is a problem. So real opulence means basically devotional service and depending upon Krishna. For us, anyway. Then under the Krishna's direction, nature's law, if one observes nature's laws, then automatically one is looked after. But that means faith, basically. One has to have faith in Krishna. Not everybody has that faith. That Krishna will look after me. That Krishna will look after us. But we can see in Prabhupada's life, you know, Vedic culture encourages us at a later age, I mentioned this last night, at a later age in when we get, actually it's mentioned, what is it? Panchasorvam vanam brajet. Anybody know what that means? What's pancha? Yeah. Panchasorvam vanam brajet. What it means is when one gets to 50, one should go and live in the forest. You know, at 50 is an age where you want life to be peaceful and everything, you know, ordered and structured, and you don't want any surprises in life. You want everything to settle down and calm down. Yet the Vedic injunction is leave home and live. I've mentioned this before, but my mum said to me when I turned 50, she said, "Are you going to leave home now?" Because when I was young, you know, I was saying, yep, when you get to 50, then you're going to leave home and become a renunciate. That's what I should have done already. But you see what Prabhupada did. At 69, he left everything that was familiar to him. And went out really, well, he called it, what did Prabhupada call it? Great transcendental adventure. Huh? At the age of 69, 70 years of age, you know, when normally you want, the last thing you want is adventure. To see what faith Prabhupada had in Krishna. You know, he went to America with the equivalent of about, 40 rupees. 40 rupees in today's exchange rate is less than a dollar. So in those days it was $8. Because he returned with the same 40 rupees. He didn't spend it. Just amazing. So what faith? You know, we could be forgiven for reading these descriptions in the Bhagavatam and think, oh yeah, okay, that's what happened then. What's happening now? So it's a real test of faith to just surrender to Krishna and depend on Krishna, and especially the vagaries of human existence are such that there are so many ups and downs, especially when one gets to old age. Is that right, Mahamaji? It's not much fun, is it? Not fun. Where's that youthful man that I once was? Full of vigor. Didn't have to depend on anybody. Huh? But to have faith that Krishna will protect and shelter us and provide us with everything. That's what's lacking in culture. It's a faithless society. And as a result, then they get the reactions. Whereas we're seeing in Prabhupada's example, and also in our own example, where we dedicate our lives to serving Krishna, then Krishna looks after us. Krishna protects us. What's that verse? Maintain. No, what was it? What is it? That Bhagavad Gita verse. Yogakshmaham Bahamyaham. What is what's the English term?
Preserve what you have.
Yes. Krishna says, I preserve what they have and provide what they lack for the devotees. Declare it boldly that my devotees shall not perish. Right? One has to have faith in Krishna's protection at all times and in all places, and that he will provide. And we see that's what Prabhupada is saying here. What this description in the Bhagavatam is saying. Those who have surrendered to Krishna are sheltered and protected and actually live in opulence, we see here. Maharaj Yudhisthira, Arjuna, the saintly kings. Not that there won't be difficulties. Right? Not that it's a magic carpet ride and everything goes smoothly. Right? You know, Prabhupada had a heart attack on the... How many heart attacks did Prabhupada have on the Jagadutta? Then another later in New York. You know, so, you know, we shouldn't think, oh, yeah, okay, I become a devotee, then no problems. Of course, in one sense, we say, you know, Vaikuntha means no worries, no problems. But that one can overcome the obstacles by Krishna's grace. What's that verse? Matschita Savadurgani Matprasada Tarisyasi Atachetvam Mahankaram Nasrosyasi Vinakshiti or Vinakshiti. If you think of me, Krishna says, if you think of me, Matschita, think of me, Sarvadurgani, Matprasada Tarisyasi. Tarisyasi means to overcome. By my mercy, Matprasada, we can relate to that, Prasad, right? Krishna's mercy. Matprasada Tarisyasi, Sarvadurgani, you can overcome all obstacles. But Atachetvam, if you think you're the doer, Atachetvam Ahankara, influenced by the Ahankara, which means false ego, then you won't hear me. You'll be lost. Nasrosyasi, you won't hear me. Vinakshati, you'll be destroyed. Okay. Any comments or questions? Quickly. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, you said we should have very strong faith in Krishna. And for Rupa Goswami, apratyayata, and I had to keep apratyayata.
Yeah. One comment that I wanted to make, I'm going back to the farm today, but I just wanted to make a mention. Tomorrow, I don't really want to make a big thing about this, but I think I should mention it to the devotees just so they know what's going on. Tomorrow, Prabhupada Prabhu is visiting Melbourne. He's going to be staying here for a few days. He was previously our GBC, but he resigned this year and stepped down from his sannyas. He had some difficulties, and he's in the process of regularizing or, you know, normalizing his situation. He's still chanting, he's still a devotee, he's opening up a preaching centre in Thailand, he's still a friend of those of us who are his close friends. And so even though he's had some difficulties, we wanted to at least make him feel welcome. He won't be giving any classes, so he's not coming in any official capacity, but at the same time we want to make him feel welcome here, you know, just because he's had some struggles as a devotee doesn't mean that we want to then just turf him out. Face a very, very, very stalwart and faithful servant of Prabhupada for many, many years. There have been calls from some quarters in Australia, you know, that we should just kick him out and, you know, why do you let him stay? You know, some people upset by the fact that he's visiting, but, you know, I feel strongly that we should be we're supposed to be compassionate to others. So why not be compassionate to ourselves? Does that make sense? So, you know, he's not a sannyasi, so don't have to offer your obeisances. Can if you like, because no harm, no loss. There's no loss in offering obeisances to anybody. Right? But, you know, be compassionate is my suggestion to each other. Does that make sense? And you can mention it to others. You know, and I guess if anybody says, what's he doing here? Then you can say, well, we let everybody else in, so why can't we let the devotees be here? Okay. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Shri Gurukesha Ki Jai.